É. Não sei quem é. Pois ele diz Guiana. Ah, pois pode ser. É a esposa, se calhar, não é? Sim, mas o que eles vinham contactar era o IP, agora mandar aquilo para mim. Vamos chatear a cabeça. Isso é mandar. Quem é? Eu não sei quem é que está com a conferência de presidentes. Mas é, portanto, é o registro, pelos vistos. Acho que sim. É tudo dele, era tudo dele. Se ele cavalo como deputada jovem. Não se consegue perceber só se por exemplo, se a bandeira está bem, se é mais para a direita, mais. Portanto, se há um grande plano, eu posso esconder a copa aqui deste lado. E o copo agora já não se vê.
Então, o copo, ok, o copo já não se vê, está mesmo só. É, ok. Podemos fazer pela linha, é? Está bem, reto, não é? Então, eu faço as perguntas ao deputado.
Sim, senhor.
Eu, se calhar, leio-me tudo, que é para o
Ok.
The relations between India and Portugal date back to more than 500 years when Vasco da Gama set his foot in Carala. We are indeed delighted to have with us an illustrious Portuguese personality, His Excellency Duarte Pacheco, Honorable President IPU today. We heartily welcome you on Lok Sabha Television, sir. It is an honor to have you on the show focusing 132 years of empowering Palawans.
Thank you so much for the invitation. The pleasure is mine. It's not the first time that I am here with you, but especially with the Indian people. It's a great pleasure.
Excellency, Portugal and India share a deep bond. My first question to you is, of course, related to this special bond. After becoming IPU president, you made it a point to visit India as first port of call. During your 7 days visit to India, you addressed members of Parliament of India in the historical Central Hall. It was an address by an IPU president after several decades which showed deep strength of India's relations with IPU in Portugal. How would you describe your stay in India?
The visit was amazing. It shows how strong are the links between our two people and our two countries. We are not just friends, we are more than this. We may feel what the other is feeling. When we watch something from you, we are seeing ourselves. The relation is very strong, not just because of the historical reasons, of course, but also because we create a friendship, a real friendship, a brotherhood that has more than 500 years. And this way, we are partners in many diplomatic forums, and we share the same positions to defend democracy, to defend freedoms, to defend the human rights. And so it's so easy to understand each other. My visit to India showed also that the commitment from you to preserve democracy, human rights, and so on, and the commitment from IPU to help India to have a more important role at the international level is a win-win solution for both. This way, I think it was a success.
IPU was established way back in 1889 as a multilateral global organization. It predates even United Nations by several decades. How would you describe the achievement of the IPU over these 132 years and what initiatives you have planned during your presidency?
You are right. We are the oldest multilateral organization of the world and global organization with parliaments from the five continents. We have 179 countries inside IPU. We are just missing 12 to reach 100% of the countries of the United Nations. In our history, in these 130 years, the IPU won not one, but two Peace Nobel Prize, because we did a lot of efforts to promote dialogue between countries, dialogue between politicians, to solve their own problems and to resolve crises. It happened for the past, and nowadays we wish to increase this role and to increase the relevance of IPU. It's essential. For instance, we had a few weeks ago a big crisis in the Middle East. I don't know if there is another forum where parliamentarians from Israel and from Palestine keep in dialogue inside a room to find solutions for their conflicts, for their divergences. It shows the importance of IPU. But also, we try to promote democracy, to empower parliaments, to have a more women and young in politics and in inside our parliaments, because we wish a very inclusive democracy. And this is something that we should try to do every day during my mandate. I will try to visit so many countries as possible to talk about these issues. Because this way, we are promoting the values of an inclusive democracy that are essential to have an inclusive society.
Excellency, since the day you have been elected as the president of the EU, you have always stressed on human rights of parliamentarians. What is your roadmap for the coming 3 years, and where do you see IPU on this very important aspect in the coming years?
You're right. Human rights of parliamentarians is the heart of our organization. You can think about it. We defend human rights. We defend parliaments. So, if we defend human rights, the first thing we should do is defend the human rights of parliamentarians. This way, they will represent better the people that elected them. It's impossible to accept a democracy that don't respect the human rights of parliamentarians. Of course, if a parliamentarian committed a crime, should go and pay for it. But a common crime, may I say. If I kill someone, of course, I need to pay for that. But what we are talking about is about freedom of speech, for instance. Freedom of ideas. Freedom to say what the parliamentarian think that is better to their own country, to their own district, to the people who vote for him. And sometimes, in many countries, in Europe also, in America, in Africa, in Asia, there are some governments that doesn't like the freedom of parliament. And the way they act is to cut the human rights of parliamentarians. They think that if they put some parliamentarians on the jail, they will be better. They will feel free. It's a mistake. Sooner or later, they will lose the power. So, if they wish the best thing to their own people, they should respect a real democratical values, and one of them are the human rights of parliamentarians. And the Committee of Human Rights of Parliamentarians will work on that for the next 3 years. We don't care if there is in country A or B. We will be there to defend one colleague that are on jail only because they make a speech or they explain one idea that don't reserve the agreement of the government.
The ongoing COVID-19 pandemic has cast an onerous responsibility on the parliament. COVID-19 has caused massive disruption in parliamentary work. The IPU had to completely reinvent itself to mitigate the effects of the pandemic on its activities. Please share your experience in this regard.
Yes, it's right. Everyone adapted the way we work in these special times of pandemic. It happened with Parliament, it happened with IPU, it happened with many companies, it happened with many organizations and so on. Yes, it's true. But I will wish to express two things. First, the parliaments keep their work. So the democracy wasn't suspended because of the pandemic. And many parliaments have had virtual meetings, for instance, but they keep the, working to approve bills, to approve budget for the health system, for instance, to approve measures that are essential to help companies or families that are affected with the economical crisis. The same with IPU. We had the first virtual election to the presidency. It happened with me. In our history, 130 years, it never happened. But happened, and with success, because there is no critical situation. Everyone respects the results. It shows that it's possible to work. But of course, it is not the same. We should come back as soon as possible to in-person meetings, because in politics, in parliaments, but also in at the international level, the personal relation that that we may create is essential sometimes to solve problems, to achieve more easily agreements, to keep dialogue in a different way. And so the first meeting, in-person meeting, will be in next September, the summit that will join speakers from the five continents. It will be the first in-person meeting of IPU since the beginning of the pandemic. And after it, we hope that we can come back to our normal work.
Excellency, you have been elected as the 30th president of the IPU after an unprecedented online election during an extraordinary virtual session, which remains a unique example of digital democracy. Following COVID-19 norms, working patterns worldwide have changed a lot. What future do you envisage for digital platforms and ICT in the working of parliaments even after the pandemic?
Of course, it can help a lot. As I said, it was not the same. But for small meetings, for short moments, it can be a very useful tool to parliamentarians. And also, for instance, sometimes it's possible now with this tool that was We may use it before the pandemic, but really, we didn't use it. I may have a meeting with the Secretary General of IPU since from Lisbon. And so I will take just 1 hour. It's more easy than to fly from Lisbon to Geneva to have 1 hour meeting and after it came back to Lisbon. I will spend 1 full day. So I can be more productive. Of course, as I said, it was not the same. It is not to replace the in-person meetings, but can be a very useful tool for parliamentarians. Again, sometimes for some countries and from some parliamentarians, to be present or to participate in a meeting far away from home will have a lot of costs. And some parliaments or some countries doesn't have the resources to pay for it. This way, they can attend the meeting at home without a lot of costs. So I think we may complement what we did it before with the digital platforms, and this way our productive work will increase. I hope it will be a very successful event, as you said, because two things. First of all, I think we are, all of us, we are missing each other. We needed to see each other in person. Second, because the House Parliament, the Austrian Parliament, invest a lot from themselves to organize a perfect meeting with all the essential measures that are needed in this time of pandemic. But they work a lot to achieve the success. And so the presence of speakers from the five continents will be the award that they needed for their work. And finally, because I know that now we have more than 120 delegations registered already. And so, the number will increase, of course, until the end of July. This way, it will be a very participative meeting with a lot of speakers to discuss one issue that are essential for us: how to recover from this pandemic in all ways, not just in health, but also in economic and social matters. Because the crises are so big. The poor increase, and we need to find a solution for that, for instance. The difference between rich countries and the poor countries increase. We need to find a solution for that. And just when we are talking together, each other, we will try to find solutions, strategies to win again this new social and economic pandemic. Of course, what we should try to find is a roadmap to all parliaments to increase the budget for health systems. It shows that this is essential. Also, in rich countries, when we have the beginning of the pandemic, in many countries of Europe, that are rich countries, may I say, we feel that the system failed. And they needed to find some help from other countries. Because the investment on health was not essential. And who approved the budget? Parliament. It shows also how small this world is. And so the international relation try to find solutions to the problems are essential. The multilateralism should be the key to find solutions to many issues. And also to recover again from the consequences of the pandemic. Try to have a more equal world, and equal societies are essential. We should work on that.
The pandemic, with all its negative connotations, also highlighted the importance of sustainable development to all of us. What is your view on this?
May you repeat, please? Sustainable development
to all of us.
Of course it is. It shows, the pandemic shows, that a small problem that grows in one country in a few moments, a few weeks, was spread to all the world. And the same happened with climate change, for instance. We may think that this is just a problem to the islands of the Pacific, or it can be just to some countries of Africa. No. What happened to one country, to one zone of the globe, will affect all our planet. That's why, of course, we wish to keep development. We are not, no one wishes to come back to the 19th century. We wish more development, to have a society with people that are going to schools, will find medical care, that will have houses for, and everything, free water, electricity, and so on. But we should try to find a sustainable model of development. If we will not work together to find it, we will have more crises like that one that we are living now. And maybe one of the lessons that we can take from the pandemic is that we should work together to fight the global problems. And one way to do it is to fight for sustainable development for all countries of the world.
Women occupy only 24.9% of space among the total parliamentarian count. What capacity building program can be initiated under your stewardship to ensure women representation becomes more equitable?
Of course, the participation of women in politics are essential. No one may talk about inclusive democracy if we will keep out of parliament 50% of the population. And so we wish to have a more parity in our parliaments, and we should work for that. What we may do? Of course, we have programs that can be adopted in so many countries of Africa, of Asia, of the Arab world, to show legislation, to show the importance to have more women represented inside our parliaments. But sometimes it is not enough. And so we create some penalizations inside IPU. One delegation that will come to a meeting have just one gender inside the delegation, they will lost the number of votes. And, as you know, all countries wish to have the full right to vote. This way, many countries that usually came to the IPU meetings just, for instance, with men, nowadays are coming with both gender represented in their delegations, try to avoid the penalization. And we say that we are fighting for a better world with a more women politics, but we know it will be step by step. It is not, we will not change mentalities, we will not change the way some countries are working from one day to the other. But step by step, the number of women in politics are essential. You say very well, in this pandemic, a lot of women have crucial participation in on front line at health systems. And some of them are not represented in their own parliaments. It is not fair. We should say it again, again, and again. Of course, we should to approve inside our parliaments special programs to help sectors and companies that suffer more with the crisis. This is the way we should do. The public funds will serve for this, for what we needed. And now what we need, after the pandemic itself are controlled, is to help the economies to recover. And this way, we can try to increase against the demand, and after it, the companies will produce more and more and will create more jobs. This is essential. If we wait just for the invisible end, I don't know how many years we needed to wait for that. That's why the public programs are now essential to help the recovery of some economies And it happened at the United States, in Europe, in India, and I know that in many countries of the world.
Sir, you have been following principles of Mahatma Gandhi in your life. During your 7-day visit to India, you visited Rajghat and paid homage to the father of the nation. It is understood that you have a bust of Bapu in your home as well. How Mahatma Gandhi inspires your life?
This is very personal, but you know what we need to think that a conflict will never be a solution, and if we can win, we can have what we wish. In a peaceful way, because if we have strong ideas, people will follow us. We did not again. We will not need to impose. We will have the support for it. And this is why in politics in my own country, but also in IPU, I defend always the dialogue between people. No one is perfect. We are human beings. And so, if I make a mistake, I try to avoid to make mistakes, of course, but if I make a mistake, I will ask to apologize me, and I will try not to repeat. I think that this is a way of to be in politics, in life, that Mahatma Gandhi showed to all of us. He fight for the independence of India. He fight for the human rights in India, also with peaceful, defending a peaceful way to achieve it. And he won. He shows to all of us how important is the belief in these causes.
Excellency, now we are going to discuss another phase of your life apart from being a parliamentarian and IPU president. You are dynamic youth icon as well. At the age of 50 plus, a politician, an economist, a master degree holder in European studies, a cyclist, a skier, proves the world that having a busy and stressful life is no excuse to escape regular exercise and physical fitness. Your photo on the cover of page of Men's Health magazine is a rage among the youth of the world. Excellency, please tell us so many things in 24 hours.
It is not easy. But what we need is to have discipline and try to organize our agenda. Believe me, I try to do it on Sunday evening. I try to prepare my week and to have my parliamentarian meetings, the meetings of my party, the visits in my district, the international commitments that I have also, and after it, I try to find the space to do some sports because it's important for me. This is my 1 hour for me, you know. This is not just work to the others. This is my space that I needed. Sometimes people can try, for instance, to have 1 hour to read or to hear music, or they prefer to go to a dinner with friends. I don't have a lot of it, but the first, and I think the most important thing is discipline. If we try to have discipline in our organization of our time, we can keep everything in our agenda, and this way we may try to do what we wish.
Excellency, since your visit to India, there have been several developments in the Parliament of India. The Lok Sabha television and Rajya Sabha television, the two television channels of Parliament of India, are being merged into one channel to ensure synergy and convergence. On your next visit, it will be Sansad TV, which will have the privilege of interviewing you. What would be your message for the new channel?
Please, you should always to tell the truth to the people. People must trust in your work. And you should be very professional. If something is wrong, you should say it without problems. But especially, please, do not be populist. Try to defend the Parliament and the role of Parliament. Because, you know, I said it a lot of times, democracy is like a flower that will need water. If we don't give water, the flower tomorrow or next week will die. And when channel that are essential to defend democracy and to defend the parliament are the media. That's why your role is so important. Please, tell always the truth, never be populist, and this way you will defend democracy that are essential to all Indians as well. We will win this battle. This pandemic, this virus, show how small our world is, and also that we are all inside the same boat. No one can tell, can be from a rich country or a poor country, from south or from north, from a big one or from a small one. But no one was safe from the pandemic. And so, it shows that we should give our hands and work together to create a better future. And also, it's how important is the cooperation between all countries and how important is the work together, as we saw in our scientists when they discovered the vaccines so quickly to solve the pandemic. So the most important message is very, very clear. We will win. And this way, we will create a stronger and a better future. Thank you so much again for the invitation, for the opportunity to address the Indian people, my brothers, because as Portuguese, I will feel always that the Indian people are our brothers. And also the opportunity to explain a little bit more about IPU and how important parliaments are to defend democracy and to defend a more inclusive society. So thank you so much for the invitation.